I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. You know, the scripture said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is not everywhere. Not everyone has faith. Faith is a precious thing. The Bible uses that phrase, like precious faith. And everybody that is born again, born of God, has a measure of that faith in them in the new birth. But now you can ignore it, never feed it, never use it, and it'll lie dormant. And even though you're a Christian and you have the potential, you can be faithless. No faith. And that's evidenced by being full of fear all the time, being full of confusion, darkness, and ignorance, and questioning, and being unstable, and no peace, and no joy. That's an indication that you don't have faith, and that you are weak in your spirit. But the good news is, no matter how weak or faithless you may have been, you can become a champion of faith.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. You can come all the way. Well, I mean, it's just like this. Just because your car ran out of gas and it was sitting on E and completely empty, that ain't the end of the world. Yes. It ain't the end of the car. Is that right? Let's just get some gas in the car, right? And how many of you keep pumping? You could bring that thing all the way from E to full. I mean, you see sometimes the gauge go past the F. Is that right? I mean, we are topped off. Well, Faith School is your topping off place, right? You come in here and you get topped off. And it should be, and it will be, evidenced by when people see you, they're around you, you are not a negative soul. You are not somebody always complaining and griping. You are not somebody always talking defeat and failure and there's no point and there's no use. And no. Faith people don't talk that way. Faith people say, I can.
I am.
I am.
I will.
I have.
It is.
It will be.
It will be.
Hallelujah. Faith sings a different song. And it's a happy song. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Cause the faith that you've put in us to be fed, to be stirred, to be nourished up. Cause us to be nourished up in the words of faith and truth. And show us exactly how to put it into practice, how to exercise it, to speak it, proclaim it, do it, act on it. And we are confident that as surely as we'll do that, you always watch over your word and perform it in the lives of those that do it. We thank you in advance for doing it. Get glory to yourself by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, we're off to a good start. Go with me again to the book of Acts and the fourth chapter. We've been going one after another through 30 reasons, and we're going to continue that to 40 reasons, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. We started with reason number one was Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That same word's translated lack. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack. We spent a lot of time on that. And then we went reason number two, three, 10, 15, 20. We're up to reason number 30 today. If you missed all those, you missed some good cooking.
Yes.
If I do say so myself, you know, my grandmother used to say that, you know, back when we were little kids, we didn't have microwaves and all that kind of stuff. And we'd get off the school bus. My folks worked, and so we'd go to Grandma's house. And what a cook. And dumplings and tea cakes. And I don't mean, you know, there was no premix. There was no microwave. You start with a bowl and a sack of flour. Crack some eggs. Can we? You know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, sometimes she'd have a big pot on the stove, and she'd go, She said, "That is good. If I did make it myself." Well, preaching's kind of that way, you know. I'm not saying it's all always good, but when it's right, it's good. Hallelujah. And the Scripture says that we feed on the Word of God, just like your body feeds on that food. So if you haven't been with us, go online, faithschool.org, and all the previous 29 lessons are there. No charge, won't cost you anything. But don't miss out on these, because we're building one upon another in our faith. Faithschool.org. In Acts, the 4th chapter today, we're continuing on reason number 30 in our study. And we're calling that the beginning days of the church. We had seen in Acts 2, they were all in one place, one accord. On the day of Pentecost, they got filled with the Spirit. And then at the end of that second chapter, it said they had all things common. And they were liberally giving and sharing their material and financial things with each other. Now, this is not giving to people outside the church. This was giving within the church. Now, I'm not saying you can't give to somebody outside the church, but there is something that you should really look close at about helping and using resources that God gave you to give to people who worship other gods or who have out and out rejected the God who gave you your provision. There were times when Jesus told his own people that had forsaken him and replaced him with false gods, the Baalim and Ashtoreth and all those ungodly things. And then they were attacked and they were so scared, and they ran to the Lord and said, you know, protect us. And he said, go to your new gods. Let them protect you. Now, if they genuinely repent and come back to him, he's so merciful. Yes, he is. He's always ready. But no, you don't add the Lord Jesus to your other gods. Mm-hmm. No, he won't have it. Because those other gods are no gods at all.
That's right.
There's only one God.
Yes.
The God of Abraham,
yes.
Isaac and Jacob, yes. Creator of the heavens and earth, yes. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the head of the church. There's only one Savior. Not two, not three. There are not many ways to God. Now, I know some people don't like it, but if you're a Christian, you should believe the Bible.
Yes.
Right? Not just make up stuff or grab things from different religions and mix it all together. You can wind up lost that way. This is deadly serious. But the Scripture said that they were focusing on the gospel and on the preaching and the confirmation of the gospel, even with miracles and signs and wonders. In the 4th chapter, in the latter part of the chapter, verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. I know we keep going over this, but it's Jesus said a house divided, what'll happen? It won't stand. It'll fall. It'll be destroyed. The enemy's continual operation method is to deceive, divide, destroy. And it's working all too well. If he can get you to believe lies, especially believe lies about each other, That drives a wedge. Can you see that? And then, if you won't forgive, and you won't talk about it, and you hold a grudge, how are you going to get it fixed? And then what happens over time, you grow further and further apart. And the enemy just tells more and more lies, and there's nothing to combat it because you don't even talk to each other or see each other. And what you don't realize is you need them, and they need you. Now, that's one of the last things people want to hear that are at odds with each other.
Right.
No, I don't need them. Well, no, the Lord says you do.
Yes.
He says the body, we all have need of our fellow members. And there's some things you won't receive directly from the Lord. You will only receive it through another body part. You think, well, I don't think I believe that. Well, it's true whether you believe it or not. And the reason it is that way, because He wants you to value them. He wants you to appreciate them. And it's the same thing with you. There's some things that people in your life, they won't get except through you. Now, it's not from you, it's from Him, but it's through you. And God wants all of the body to appreciate the other parts. Because it's part of Him too.
That's right?
Right? Yes. To reject part of the body is to reject part of Christ. To reject part of Him. You know, He takes it personally. Whether you think so or not. You remember Saul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus met him in that bright light. And He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm sure Saul thought, Well, that's what he said. Who are you? In other words, I'm not persecuted. Yeah. Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting my Christians? Why are you persecuting? No. He said, why are you doing this to me? He took what Saul and others were doing against the church personally as though they did it to him personally. He's the head, but all these members are the body. Should we treat each other well?
Yes.
We should. What am I saying? We're not going to have abundant provision without this unity. Our faith is not going to work without love. We must not rush past this. Husbands and wives are going to have to get along or your prayers will be hindered. That's what 1 Peter 3 says. You got to. In your family, there can't be strife, yelling and cussing and breaking stuff and hitting and slapping and kicking and all. That's like the ungodly. That's not us.
No, it's not.
I said, that's not us.
Not us.
What do you do instead? Well, you control yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you pray through. And you talk.
Yes.
And you forgive.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you don't hold grudges.
Right.
Oh, come on, y'all with me?
Yes.
And this works in a marriage with just two people. It works in a family with kids and mom and dad. It works in a church.
Yes. Right.
Of 50 people or 50,000.
Yes,
it works. It could work in a whole country.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yes, sir.
But so many folks are so selfish and so bent and so stubborn until it's easy for the enemy to send divisive spirits and lying spirits to come in to deceive and divide and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear you say it, class.
But we
are not ignorant
of Satan's devices.
And we will not yield
to
his lies,
his deception.
We will not allow him
to separate
and divide us.
We will not allow
him to destroy us in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're seeing, the powerful preaching of the gospel and teaching of the Word of God and the Word being confirmed with healings and deliverances and signs. I mean, you see things like Peter's shadow falling on people and them jumping up and running away healed. I mean, there's amazing things going on. You cannot separate it from one heart, one soul, one accord. together. And it wasn't just together with each other, it was together with God.
Yes.
Together with the Holy Spirit. But it says, the multitude of them, verse 32, that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution, everybody say distribution, was made unto every man according as he had need. There was Spirit-led giving, Spirit-directed distribution, and abundantly supplied needs. This is how it worked. This was not the government taking care of people. And this was not the result of taxation, people being taxed. Nor was the result of church leaders, nor headquarter leaders requiring people to give or tithe to them. Y'all awake or not? Requiring. If you have to do it, it's not giving. Are y'all with me or not? If you have to do it, it's not tithing.
That's right.
Tithing and giving must be free will. It must be willingly of your heart. Didn't the Lord say, don't give grudgingly, nor of necessity? That means necessity means you have to. If you have to do it, you're not doing it by faith. You're not doing it willingly, freely. God doesn't want us just doing things by ritual and routine, by calendar, or you get paid, so you get your calculator, and you figure 10%, and you already know everything that's happening with it, and this and that. You don't have to pray. You don't have to be led. You see what I'm saying? Yes. You can do it without faith. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, everything is supposed to be by faith. And everything is supposed to be by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not looking to somebody else to tell you what to do. You're supposed to pray. Hear from God. Be led. Is that okay?
Yes.
You can see here. I'm going to go through it again real slowly. Spirit-led giving. Is that what was going on?
Yes.
Is anybody making these people do this?
No.
We saw in the very next chapter, chapter 5. Where Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they lied about what they were doing. And judgment came immediately on them because it was such a holy thing they were mocking. And one of the things that Peter said to Ananias, he said, while the land was yours, you know, it was your own. After it was sold, it was in your power. What's he saying? Nobody made you do this. Nobody told you, nobody even asked you to do this. They just saw Barnabas and other people doing it, and they wanted to get the recognition in front of everybody. But they didn't really want to do it. And boy, there's a whole series on that. People want the blessing, but are unwilling to do what you need to do. But no, if it's not from a willing heart and mind, if it's not of faith, it's not acceptable to God. It's not pleasing to God. Whatever's not of faith is actually sin. Right?
Yes.
So I know people are doing all kind of things in this area, and I know some folks may think they don't agree with me on this. Forget about me. Scripture.
Right.
Scripture. Where is it at that they're requiring them to do these things? They're not. They're not. Now, go to, let's see, Luke. The 12th chapter, please. Now, this would be a perfect time to walk in love with people like me. You could walk in love with me. Just say it out loud. I love Brother Keith.
I love Brother Keith.
Even if I don't agree with him about everything, I still love Brother Keith. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Luke, again, Even if we disagree, even if you think, well, I think I see the scriptures differently from you do, I understand that, if you're being honest about that. We don't have to hate each other, right? We don't have to, and if you have any humility, you should admit, if Paul said, I know in part, what about the rest of us? We know part of the part of the part, right? So Luke, the 12th chapter, I want you to notice this. They were selling possessions and bringing the whole amount of it. Now, houses and lands and properties, just as valuable to them then as it would be to you now, right? This is big stuff. And nobody's making them do it. What's going on? They're filled with the Spirit. And that changes the way you see things. They had a revelation of the temporary nature of money and things. And they were having a revelation of the eternal value of people being saved and the church being strong and built and added to. And so they were willing to sacrifice temporary things for eternal things. In fact, we're glad to do it. They also knew that when they sowed it and gave it, that wouldn't be the end of it. There'd be harvest coming back in, multiplied. They knew that whether modern people do or not. Jesus said it. Well, in the 12th chapter of Luke, we'll begin here in about verse 13. One of the company said to him, Master, speak to your brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Now that may sound like a strange reply to you. This man said, tell my brother to do the right thing and divide the inheritance. Maybe their parents had died or his dad had died and they're in a squabble over the inheritance, whatever it was. He said, tell him to divide this with me properly. And I'm sure he thought Jesus is going to look at him and go, yeah, you better do what's right. He didn't. He said, who made me a judge or divider over you? And then he said this. He said, take heed. Watch out. Beware of covetousness. He might have said, well, I'm not covetous. I just want what belongs to me. Yeah, Jesus said you're covetous. So you're covetous. Well, no, I just want what's mine. I just want what's right. No, you want it too much. It means too much to you. Because you can't sleep. Because you're getting ulcers. You got migraines. You want to, fight and take them to court and sue. You want to do it. Why? You think about it night and day. And it never crossed your mind to say, let them have it. There's a lot more where that came from.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Now, see, that takes faith. Yes. I said, right? Yes. That takes faith.
That's right.
Not realizing that so many times, by the time people get through paying the legal fees and the doctor bills and sometimes the divorce or whatever, it would have been a lot cheaper to let it go. But it's still it's about praying and being led. He said, verse 16, and he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. What shall I do? I have got more coming in than I have storage to put it up. What can I do? Now, for a spirit-filled believer, that is not a hard question. But for him, he's stumped. He's like, what am I going to do? I got all this stuff. I got nowhere to put it. I can't leave it out and let it ruin, let it spoil. I can't do that. Notice what's never crossing his mind. Giving is never crossing his mind. Why? He's only living for this life. He thinks these things, he's acting like they're permanent, like he's always going to be here, like this is always going to keep going. He is living in a fantasy land. He said, I don't have any room to bestow all my fruits. Then he said, I got it. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater. Here's the solution. More storage. Bigger barns. That's it. Man, we're going to bring them down. We're going to knock the walls out. We're going to go giant square footage. And why? Because I'm going to put all my fruits in there, all my goods in there, and I can say, soul. Now, I want you to notice, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room? Then I said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and then will I bestow all my fruits, and I will say to my soul, soul, you. Are we seeing a recurring theme? Total focus on yourself. That's all you're thinking about. Is yourself. And he said, I got it. I'm going to go to greater storage. And I can say, so you have got it made, buddy. You got much goods laid up for many years. You can retire. You can take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. You got it. Got it made. Until when and how? So he's acting like this is all there is. But God said to him, fool. Anybody ever seen the A-Team on? When I hear that, that's what I think of. Who was it? Mr. T or whatever? Fool. This night, your soul shall be required of you, and then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's acting like he had a long time to enjoy it. We don't have a long time. We should use what we have for the best purposes and to help the most right now without delay. Don't let it rust. Don't let it rot. Put it in the service. Hallelujah. Because you'll soon be out of here and you'll be so glad you did. Well, our time's up again today. Said out loud, I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome the world.
By faith.
I'm strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
We'll see you next time in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.